Okay, so welcome everybody back to the Mastering Risk Management podcast. My name's Anthony Wilson, and today we have a fantastic guest, and it's another first for us, so very pleased with the number of firsts we're racking up at the moment. So today we have our first international guest, all the way from the USA. So let me read Sheree Hotman's bio first, and we'll then say hello to Sheree. So Sheree's an MBA, a CPA, and a BCC, and we'll work out what a BCC is shortly. But she's an executive coach and leadership development guru, I suppose would be the word guru I like, because I love these people that get out and help others. So Sheree has a strong background in technology executive leadership, including GRC, so governance, risk and compliance, and now focuses on helping corporate folks be heard and valued in the workplace. Her philosophy is bringing out the strengths so that you can have the impact to make things radically better, because people in here recognise the unique value that you bring. So quite a great value proposition. Being a corporate person, and especially a GRC person in tech, is hard and requires fortitude to press through. Sheree will share tools she has learned in her own professional experiences to help navigate the impact you want to make. Sheree is an ex-vice president in the tech IT GRC space, with a career predominantly in banking, financial services and consulting. She has an MBA from the University of Texas at Dallas, is a CPA and a certified coach, which is BCC, the board certified coach. Her website is makeimpactatwork.com, where you can get your free copy of Three Secrets to Make People Listen at Work When You Have the Answer. And her LinkedIn profile is www.linkedin.com/in/Sheree Hotman. So, Sheree, welcome to the program.
Hello, Anthony. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so glad to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for the fabulous introduction.
Not a problem at all. As I said, our first international guest, so I'm very excited. And also very excited to talk to somebody who's in the executive coaching space and the space that's about helping other people do a better job and be more effective at their job. So I think that's fantastic. In a very long ago past, I was in a HR role, and that was training and career development. Uh-huh. And that was about helping people as well, but in the corporate or the company structure sense. So to hear someone that's gone out and made a go of it in a consulting sense is fantastic.
Well, thank you. I've tripped my way through a lot of things and learned a lot of things the hard way, so it gives me no greater pleasure than to be able to give that away to folks and shorten their learning cycle and help them to get to where they want to be. And thank you for recognizing, you know, helping others. It's crazy how much time we spend at work. And we invest not just our time, but also our emotional energy. Many of us sacrifice our families and personal things that we may want to do. And so it should be great, right? You should love it. You should be able to make the impact and do the things that you want to do, and it should be fabulous. But unfortunately, I talk to a lot of people where that's not so much the case. So yes, I enjoy sharing what I've learned and helping people to succeed and do the great things they want to do. So thank you for that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I guess let's talk a little bit about yourself for a start. It sounds like a fascinating background based on that bio. But, you know, your career path and where you sort of bumped into risk management, all those sort of things. How did you get to where you are today?
So most of my career was spent in the IT space. I'm a tech geek at heart. I love the technology and the cool things that it can bring to the business. I always have. Yeah. But my degree, however, was in accounting, and that's how I ended up with a CPA, and I still maintain my license today. So fast forward all the way through the IT space. I started out in development, did some database work, eventually landed in the project management space, which of course is very process-oriented, and there are certain risk management practices within the project space. But then I had this fabulous opportunity for a banking organization to basically put together and spearhead their GRC efforts within the IT space. Right. And so that's how I landed myself in the governance, risk, and compliance. And then it's funny because several of the things taught in that space go all the way back to my accounting training, right? Because in the accounting space, they've been teaching controls and some of those governance practices for for many years. So that was kind of funny how they connected together. And then, of course, Sarbanes-Oxley pushes a lot of that as well.
Yes.
So that's the quick journey of how I enjoyed that. And how I've got there. And what I really enjoyed about it is just to be able to bring that lift into the organization, especially in the tech space, and to be able to help people to think about things that they know, but they don't really like think about it in those terms. So that was what was really cool about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. And the progression, from the corporate life, I guess, into making that big decision to jump out into your own. Was that something that, you know, stewed in your mind for many years? Was it a aha moment that you woke up one night and said, oh, hang on, this is what I need to do?
So both, it was kind of there for a long time,
right.
Just kind of bubbling, but yep. Obviously, like you said, in the corporate space, it didn't feel like it could ever really get to that.
Yes.
But then later in my career, I really developed an affinity for people and just to really help them to thrive and really help them to do the things that you look at them and you know they can do, but they have these barriers. And so as part of managing a team, of course, you get all those fantastic leadership opportunities to pour into people. So that was really where I got to kind of live it out, so to speak. And
yes.
So the passion started to kindle and it started to grow. And I got to see people do like a really amazing things, just coming alongside them and just kind of helping them. And then the big aha came when we had some executive management changes within our company. And so my CIO, who I adored, stepped down, and then it was time, right? And then
right.
It's time to start making that progression. So I made the choice to leave.
Yep.
And I did all my coaching training and got my coaching certification. It took about 18 months to do that. And now I get to live every day the quote that says, love what you do and you won't work a day in your life.
Yes.
And it's fabulous because I get to pour into other people and really watch them do the things that they want to do.
Yep.
People deserve respect in the workplace. Well, anywhere, but specifically in the workplace.
Yes.
And people are capable of so very much. And so it's really just how you choose to come alongside them and how you choose to work with them. It is the make or break, right?
Yes.
And so
yes.
So now a lot of what I end up helping people with is just that, how they interact, how they work with other people, how they engage people. You and I both know we can thank the millennials for this, and we really truly can thank them, because command and control tactics, I mean, that goes away, right? Like,
yes.
that's not very effective,
yes.
And nor is it very respectful.
Yes.
And so it's much better. And even especially like when you're doing the hard principles like risk management or governance or compliance, these are not the popular subjects a lot of times.
No.
And people are like, what do you want me to do? Why are you talking to me?
Yes.
And so
yes.
And so then you really, it really becomes that finesse of how you interact with people and how you work to get your message across and get them to really hear you, so that all of this that you have inside you to really make that impact and do those things you want to do, you can really press through and do those. And
yeah.
That's the coolest thing.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And that's, makes life very exciting. As you say, jump out of bed in the morning and really look forward to getting into the next project.
Absolutely. It's no longer about the paycheck. Of course,
yes.
We need the paycheck.
Yes.
That's just a given.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't be working for the paycheck. We should be showing up every day for the paycheck.
Yeah.
And so it's an opportunity to really help people shift out of, oh, yeah, this is what I got to do. No, this is what I want to do. And this is so cool and so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And even risk management.
Of course, risk management.
Yeah, of course, yes.
So you're in a very, to my mind, a very exciting field, because you're helping people be their best in the work environment. So, I mean, that's fascinating. In terms of the risk profession or the allied professions around risk, what are the sort of challenges there? What are the sort of things you're finding as you line up beside a risk manager or a chief risk officer or someone like that, who I guess in a lot of cases that we'd all experience at some stage in our risk career, that trouble cutting through or, you know, getting the message across and being heard and all of those sort of things. What are the sort of things that you come across as you do that work? What are the challenges?
Yeah, so the first one that comes to mind we kind of touched on is it's a hard message, right?
Yeah.
People in the workplace are typically, they are not risk managers, but the other people that the risk people rely upon.
Yes.
They already have a job. So they're already probably overworked, overwhelmed, underappreciated, depending on the culture of the company. So yeah. They already have a job. They already have all this going on in their space. And so being an ex-risk professional, the hard part was, you want me to do what? And when do you want me to do that? And where do you think I'm going to have the time to do that? And so that was, and it's a hard met. And by the way, what is risk? And
yes.
what are these words you're using? And what are you asking me to do? And all of that. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. It's a very hard message. And it feels like it fits on top of their existing job. Now, as a risk professional, we know that it doesn't really fit on top of their job. It really should be baked into their job.
Absolutely.
And how they think about things every day, but they don't really see that. And so that becomes like your biggest barrier right there.
Yes.
And then another thing that is huge in the risk space is it changes every 5 seconds, or at least it feels like it does.
Yes.
It's all, you know, it's such a, it's so high visibility, and especially with all of the, you know, we can thank the Enrons and all those other companies that did all those things that then has kind of brought to light all of these GRC practices and principles, that it changes because
yes.
It's kind of a newish space. And so then that puts the risk person in an awkward spot because, one, you want to always be bringing in the new information. You want to always be growing, which is hard in and of itself. And two, now your message to your people that you support is changing as well,
yes.
Which then can cause them frustration. And even depending on how you deliver that message, it maybe even causes them to question, okay, can you just make up your mind what you want me to do?
Yes.
Stop changing
yes.
it?
Yeah.
When they don't understand maybe the whole of the dynamic. So
yes.
There's a lot of pressures. And then like where I was at, we had a ton of external visibility, and any banking organization is going to have that, right? So you have auditors, you have regulators, you have all these external eyes. And so that causes change too.
Yes.
And so what might have been true yesterday, no, we're kind of taking it a different direction. And
yes.
It's not because the risk person doesn't know what they're doing. It's because there's all these external pressures that I think people maybe don't really understand.
Yes.
And that causes some tension in the space as well.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that I was thinking was, there's different scales or degrees of how to do risk management. So I think you can pull 10 different risk people and ask them a question and you'll get 10 different answers or 10 different degrees of how to do it.
Yes.
You and I both know risk management can go from a checkoff exercise to something that really increases the value and the lift within the organization, or anything in between. And
Absolutely.
It really just depends on who's spearheading it.
Absolutely.
So I think that's another tension or challenge.
Yes, absolutely. For the audience that's listening at the moment, Cherie, they might be sitting there thinking, my God, I know how tough it is for me to get cut through in risk and all that sort of stuff. Why would this poor woman put herself through through that? So,
that's a great question.
Yeah. So, what are the rewards? What do you get out of this work? What are the things that really motivate you and you love about this work?
So, just like what I do in coaching, I love transformation.
Yes.
The status quo does not excite me.
Yep.
Showing up every day and doing the same thing over and over again, this is why I don't practice as an accountant, because
yes.
I would be bored out of my mind.
Yes.
I love transformation. I love something being in one spot and then transforming it to being in another spot. And risk management, all of GRC,
yep.
has the incredible capability to do that.
Yeah.
So you can take an organization that's functioning on one level, and if you truly bake in risk and governance and compliance and controls and process and all of those things that people don't like to do, or
yep.
especially not in the tech space, they don't like to think about those things.
Yep.
You can truly take an organization from A to B, and it's transformed permanently.
Yes.
where I was, we did a lot of reactive, and I know a lot of risk people deal with reactive. And yes. So transformation is proactive. Like, I want to take something from here to here. And yes. So these principles have that capability to do that. So that really excited me. That was, you know, a huge driving force.
Yes.
Another thing is you, and kind of in line with that, is you get to create a new status quo. You know, I had the opportunity to work with people, and I do today still. It's the same thing, right? It may not be risk management. It may be how they function in the workplace, or, you know, being their best, like you said. But truly, it's not just, here's who I am and let me just do this extra stuff. No, it's creating a new status quo. It's creating a new way of thinking, a new perspective. And so it's not that you're doing more, it's that you're doing it differently, or you're yes. doing it better.
Yes.
And so, like people I coach, I don't tell them to do more. It's just a different perspective, and yes. it's a different way to think of it, to get themselves to a new status quo, which, of course, not just creates that transformation, but it sustains that transformation. Yes. So, of course, all of the GRC principles absolutely bring that into the organization. And then ultimately, it really can be a lift to the business. Yes. I remember the day that the light bulb popped off in my head. Oh, if we'll quit looking at these things as auditors telling us to do this stuff, oh my gosh, look at what this could actually do for our business.
Yes.
Like, this stuff is powerful.
Yes.
And you think about it, how many disciplines within the corporate space can really bring that kind of a lift to the organization across the board?
Yes.
If you can truly help your people think from a risk perspective in all that they do every day, it's just baked into how they think,
yep.
the whole business radically transforms.
Absolutely.
So that's what excited me to get up and go to work every day and bust my tail on this stuff to bring this in.
Okay. Well, fantastic. And you sound very passionate about it. And
I know.
The passion you had on day one is still obvious today, which is fantastic.
Is, yeah.
So what does a day look like? What's your current role look like in you know, for somebody who's in a risk office and gets in at 7 o'clock and is still probably there at 7 o'clock that night, slaving away on trying to convince the organisation on a risk issue or a governance issue? What does your world look like? What does, you know, a typical day, week, you know, approach look like in your world?
So as a certified coach, my passion is to help people, as you've already alluded to. And so I connect with a lot of people, sometimes over social media. I do speaking yes. gigs in our area. I have one next week, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
And so I really, that's what my day looks like, is to connect with people and to help them as best I can. When I do have someone that I coach, I really take them through some new tools and some new perspective.
Yes.
For how, well, one, it's kind of twofold.
Yeah.
One, you can't hit a target if you don't know where the target is.
Yes.
And so sometimes people don't really know exactly what the target is.
Yes.
Well, I don't like where I am. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. I just don't want to be where I am. Okay. And then sometimes people know what the target is, but they're having trouble getting it.
Yes.
Like for example, when I was back in the banking organization doing GRC, you know, I knew very clearly what I wanted my target to be.
Yes.
But then I start to have all these barriers. I start to have barriers of people not understanding, or people not wanting to participate, or people not seeing the value.
Yes.
And so I work with folks as a coach for how they can approach those situations differently, understand different things about themselves, and understand different things about people, to get to that target that they want to do.
Yeah.
It's often not the technical skills that people have that holds people back in the workplace. It's what I call their soft skills. It's going to be how they communicate, how they are, you know, a leader. And leadership is not the same as management. You
yes.
can manage no one and you still need to be a leader.
Yes.
It's those things. And so, and it's being very intentional and very, very mindful. What do you want to accomplish? Where are you going? What does this look like? It shocks me how many people expect great things to happen, but there's no intentionality, and
yes.
there has to be an intentionality to make those great things happen in any space.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, something like the GRC space is exciting because it's a hard thing, right?
And yeah.
I love a good challenge. So it's, So it's a hard thing. It's like, I mean, people would just listen to me. And that's why I have my free offer on my website. So I appreciate you mentioning that at Make Impact at Work is, you know, I have this great thing. Like, I know what needs to be done. Yes. I understand this. Why does no one else get this? Yes. Why will people not listen to me?
Yes, absolutely.
and so I have a 3-part video series where I try to help people, like, here's how you can think about this differently to get people to listen to your amazing ideas. Because when you stop and talk to people, most people have amazing ideas. Nobody went to college and busted their tail to show up for a paycheck every day. Like, it was something so much bigger than that. They wanted their work time to mean something, to have value, to add to their life. Yes. And so that's what I very much enjoy, helping people to navigate through to bring that transformation in their career, their professional life.
Yeah, fantastic. Listen, Sheree, I think we can all relate to that. I think, you know, my most recent corporate role was in a company of 200,000 people, right? So, you know, to stand out, to make a difference, to make an impact, you know, it can be very challenging at times, and particularly in one of the corporate or the support areas. You know, that's an ancillary to the business. It's not what the business is about. Well, you know, you've actually got to do this stuff to be a successful business. So, you know, I think most of the listeners could relate to that. And just in the way that you operate today, do you typically engage one-on-one with people, or will organisations engage you to help an area of the business that might need a bit of assistance? How does that work in an engagement model?
It's both.
Yeah,
I do both. I have several workshops that I do to help with communication and leadership and awareness, because improving your soft skills kind of starts with awareness. So I have some assessment tools that I use, and then I have workshops that I can do with teams in companies. Okay. So I've done that, and then I do work with folks one-on-one, and so I typically will have like a 4-month engagement with folks one-on-one, and we'll take them through some very specific awareness to themselves, some assessment tools, we do some training elements, and then we do coaching elements for the implementation aspects of it. Yeah. And so they can end in the 4 months very different than where they started. And so that's really awesome. And then from time to time, I do group, or I do some like a model where I have office hours so I can work with multiple people together, but that's still remote. So that's kind of my different ways of working with folks in companies.
Yeah, that's great. So it's a flexible model, and it can adapt as needed.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So I guess, you know, without giving away the crown jewels, but what would be your, if somebody listening there feels like they're in that rut, they feel like, I'm not being heard. It just feels like I'm not being effective. What sort of immediate tips would you give them? What sort of things would you say, hey, try these three things that might help you get on the road to success?
Absolutely. So have you ever heard of the golden rule, which is treat others the way that you want to be treated?
Absolutely.
So can I tell you that's very wrong? And so that's one of the first things I do that we talk about is the platinum rule, which is treat others the way they want to be treated. And it's a very different approach to dealing with people. Wow. So instead of coming at someone, treating them how I want to be treated, I need to take the time and have the tools to understand how they would want to be treated.
Yeah.
Because I like to use this example. You're driving down the road, and there's all these billboards down the road, right? But you're just driving. Do you normally see the billboards? You normally just drive by them. Maybe you drive by them every day and you never notice them, right? Because you don't connect with them.
Yes.
But something will happen, or you will have read something, or the color something will, or it'll change, and you'll notice it. So you'll connect with it.
Yes.
And then once you connect with it, now you are hearing its message.
Yes.
So it's similar with people. If I come at you, blah, 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 and I haven't taken the time to connect with you, you're probably not going to hear what I have to say. And then depending on my personality, if I'm maybe dominant or maybe I have the authority, you're maybe less liable to hear me, right? And how the two come together.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing I tell people is you have to truly engage people, to help them to come alongside you versus forcing them to come alongside you, because you get a very different result, and especially like risk management and really anything, but risk management specifically. If I force someone to do, okay, I have this spreadsheet or this assessment I need you to do, and I force them to do it, I'm going to get a very different result than if I take the time to engage with them and to help them understand and meet them where they are and speak it in a way that they can hear it. Yes. Now, oh, okay, they're more readily to come alongside what I'm doing versus being told what to do. Yes. And so that's you know, and that was huge in my world. Once I realized this, everything started to change. I mean, that's huge, right?
Yes.
And so I help people with seeing other people and how they're different and how you can speak to that to really work to engagement. And I'll just use this real simple little example. And this one makes everybody laugh because we all know it. You know, we've all been sitting there at the desk and we're working and somebody comes flying up. Hey, I need XYZ. When do you need it? I need it in an hour. Okay. And then they're gone. Like, hello to you too. Nice to see you. Yes, I'm doing fine. Thank you. But there's none of that.
Yes.
And then that immediately puts a ripple in how we connect with someone. So if I'm the person that needs something, I need to have the wherewithal to not do that with people, right? Because that's not really working to engage them.
Yes.
They're not going to tell you to their face, but I guarantee you they're thinking it in their mind. And then if you do it time and time and time and time again, then you wonder why, what is wrong with this person? Well, it's the relationship or the lack thereof that's been built. But then likewise, then you get the person, you're sitting there working along, you're trying to get something done, and they come by, hey, so how was your weekend and how's your dog and how, and you're like, oh, can you please just, what do you want? Please just get to it because you're wasting my time. And so then you get that.
Yes.
And then that, and then now every time you see that person, you're thinking, oh gosh, here we go. And so again, there's not this connection that's necessary. And I don't mean this, I don't say this to disrespect anybody, but we're all different. We're all uniquely made, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And sometimes you want to engage in that chit chat if you've got that person who values that to really work to engage them. Sometimes you've got your very task oriented person, they don't really care for that. They just want you to go right to it, and you speak on that level to engage those people.
Yes.
And then some people are very detailed, and they want to know all the background and all the details and all the little nitpicky stuff. And if you don't give them all of that, they're going to be frustrated with you.
Yes.
But then other people, they don't want the detail. Just what do you want?
Yes.
Don't waste any time with the detail. Tell me what you want. I'm bored with the details. And so if you give those people all the details, you're going to have lost them.
Yes.
And so I'll help people with that perspective. And that you know, I call it a new tool in their bag. So now when they're connecting with people, they can be much more mindful of how to do that. And then now once you've got that connection, now they're going to more readily hear what you have to say, right?
Yes. Yes.
And ultimately, that's the goal, is you want them to hear your message and you want to have that connection. So that's a huge tip for any discipline, but very much so in the risk management space because I lived it, so I know it.
Absolutely.
And I saw things change when I started to have that insight about people.
Yeah.
The other second thing I would say is you have to deliver your message to be value add for the person.
Yes.
And that's huge.
Yes.
Anybody who's really good in their space, whatever their space be, risk management, for example, they're going to understand and appreciate the value, right? That's what they're dedicating themselves to do this. So they get it.
Yes.
However, it is the wrong assumption to assume everybody else automatically has that same appreciation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If we go back to the underworked, people are underworked. I'm sorry, not underworked. Woo, underappreciated, overworked, overwhelmed. Then now they're not connecting with the value that you're seeing. And so what are you trying to do to me? And now you have this kind of blockade.
Yes.
And so when I would work with folks with risk management, I would be I would work to phrase it I learned to do this because I did it the wrong way first, and then I learned to do this. And so I learned to speak it in a way that was meaningful and value and gave them a lift. So I'll use this example. It's not exactly risk, but it's from the audit space.
Yes.
You know, of course, you get those auditors coming in, and no disrespect to my auditor friends listening, but they want all this different stuff, right? They want all these artifacts, all these documents, you know, all these different things. And especially the IT people.
Yes.
This does not rock their world. Well, it does rock their world, not in a good way. and so they're like, they want what? I just gave them this. Why do they want this? And so it's this constant like struggle to get this stuff and this constant struggle to work with these people. And they're just trying to do their job, right? And I was in the middle of that.
Yes.
And so then when it came to, hey, you know what? We need to be much better at controls and risk and how we document this stuff and how we show that we evidence that we do this stuff. Then it was in the context of, oh, and by the way, you know, all those people that you get really frustrated when they come X times a year, that all gets a whole lot easier.
Yes.
Like that actually mostly goes away. Because
yes.
Now we have all this and we're running our business like we know we should run our business and we can evidence it. And so now they're just dealing with the additional questions on top of that.
Yes.
And so that was an example of phrasing the message in a way that they got the benefit.
Yes.
Now, this is not something I'm making up. I'm trying
yes.
to help you.
Yes.
And that's I think that's, you know, sometimes we control risk people are like, well, this is what you should do. What's wrong with you? Like,
yes.
just do it. But that message doesn't come off.
No, that's right. That's right. Absolutely.
And then the other thing that I've alluded to is that life is about being intentional. It doesn't just happen.
Yes.
I talk to quite a few people who they're frustrated they're not promoted, they're frustrated they're not here in their career, they're frustrated, you know, this is happening to them. And the reality is there's intentionality that's being missed. We are not at the mercy of the world. We are in control of ourselves and our lives and our careers and all of that. And so I work with people to have that intentionality, because when you have that intentionality of I need to get to here and this is what I'm going to do and here is how I'm going to do it and here is how I'm going to hold myself accountable to move through this, that intentionality will get you to those great things, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So that would be my top tips for success.
Fantastic. Fantastic. No, I think that's great stuff. And interestingly, like most things that are so powerful, ideally they're very simple, you know. They're not rocket science. They're common sense, but sometimes we need somebody to come along and just help us focus and get clarity, which is fantastic. So as I said earlier, I think it must be very rewarding to do this work and feel the appreciation of the people that you work with who benefit from this. I guess, particularly, in a setting where you're working with teams or an organisation, but how do you sell the value? How do you convince organisations that the investment in this stuff actually works? Is it something that they feel is a bit of a gamble? We're going to spend some time and effort and resource and money on this development, and how do we, you know, we get value? Is it, how do you do that? How do you show value for the activity?
So how I accomplish that, and I still think, well, I guess I would say two things.
Yeah.
I'll start with this one first.
Yeah.
Is it goes into baking it into what they do. It's
yep.
not something additional.
Yes.
And yep. risk management specifically, I mean. And it's interesting because the risk person is not, they are the owner of the risk management practices or office, but they aren't the one that owns the risks, right?
Mm.
Those
mm.
are owned by the different people.
Absolutely.
And so it's very interesting because people inherently know risk management.
Yes.
You know, we've all heard the speeding down the road example or the running through the stop sign example, and in those flash or walking across the street examples, you
yes.
know, in those flashes of moments, everybody readily understands risk management.
Yes.
So And they readily, you know, if you take like the accounting person or the CIO or, you know, the different people, they readily understand the risks in their area.
Yes.
It's not anything they don't already do. All we're really doing is formalizing it.
Yes.
And all we're really doing is getting it out of their head onto something that can be evidenced and formalize it.
Yes.
So that was the approach that I took, and it goes back to helping them to see the value that they're going to get out of this deal.
Yes.
Is that this is not something you don't already do.
Yes.
This is something you absolutely do every day. If you don't do this every day, you're not very good at what you do. I mean, that's the reality, right?
Yes.
If you're in accounting and you don't readily think about risk management, then you're probably not very good at accounting.
Yes.
But I guarantee you do this. You just don't formalize it. So all I'm trying to do is help you is to formalize it. And then check it out. If you will work with me on this, now something that it was in your head that you are readily doing all the time, now you get credit for it.
Yes.
Because I can show it to auditors. I can show it to regulators. I can show it to investors. And man, we are all over our game here at this place. We know what we're doing. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's all in how you express it. And again, it goes back to helping them to see the value. Don't expect that they can automatically connect the dots.
Yes.
Don't expect they automatically have an affinity for this stuff. But it's helping them to see, you're already doing this. I'm just giving you some tools to formalize it. Oh, and check it out. You get to get credit for it, and you're going to be the rock star person because you already now you can show it.
Yes.
And now you can see it.
Yes.
And then the other part of that, and I kind of alluded to it, is to really be their partner.
Yes.
So much in the GRC space, and it's real bad in audit, unfortunately, is you get this dictator mentality.
Yes.
And this, well, this is what we have to do. And then especially when you're in like a heavily regulated company or industry,
yep.
Well, this is what we have to do. So you just need to do it. And that's just the way it is. So,
yes. Yeah.
And that just doesn't, you know, somebody might work on it for you and they might meet the minimum requirement for you, but that is going to disturb the relationship from that point forward.
Yes.
And that's too high of a cost. And I learned that there is a price to pay for forcing someone to do something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you have the backing and the authority and you can make it happen, that's fine. But there will be a price to pay guaranteed over the course of time and working with these people day in and day out. So those would be my two things.
Yeah.
It's really help them see the benefit to them, to bake it into their everyday practices, the stuff they already do.
Yes.
And then be their partner and not dictate it to them. And I guess I would say one other thing on there that we maybe talked about is speak English or whatever.
Yes.
Your native one.
Yes.
Don't speak risk speak. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
For us, it would be English. Risk people. Well, I think every discipline people are bad about that. IT people are terrible about that, right? They throw off all these acronyms and you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot Google fast enough. What are you talking about?
Yes.
Because you're trying to, what are these acronyms mean? And risk people do the same thing, right? Everybody does it.
Yes.
And so I think if you really want someone to hear your message, you have to speak their language.
Yes.
And so they can hear it.
Yes.
So I know when I would do like socialization meetings where I would try to get people to understand the principles and what we were doing, I would take out all the risk language and I would use the stop signs and the speeding down the road and all of that. And I would speak in terms of those things they understand. And then now we're just applying it to your space. You know your space, so this is easy, right? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that's pretty simple. It's not hard.
Yes.
But if you start using all those big fancy words that people don't know, and here's the reality of human nature, right? If I don't know it, you think I'm going to say, excuse me, I have no idea what you're talking about. Could you speak on my level, please? People don't do that, right?
Absolutely.
Instead, they just sit there quietly and nod their head. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
And I have no idea what you're talking, telling me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw a fantastic thing from a risk manager where they said, well, just speak the language of the business. So it's not the inherent risk. It's the risk we currently have. It's not the residual risk. It's the risk that's left after we use the controls. You know, speak the language of the business.
Yep.
You know, stop
such
using the fancy
thing.
Terms. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
No, thank you. They're great thoughts on how to continue to demonstrate that value. I guess, Sherry, the last question, I suppose a bit future looking and, you know, what's going to happen in the future. And you've got a unique perspective working in GRC. and particularly tech-based. But tech itself is probably one of the reasons why we have such disruptive environments at the moment. And, you know, and you know, it seems funny now, but even Uber and Airbnb seem to be a bit passé today and old-fashioned, and we're actually moving into, you know, nanotechnology and bots and artificial intelligence and goodness knows what else. So what do you think, not so much the technical challenges per se, but you're an executive coach, you're trying to help people to be more effective. What are going to be the challenges going forward over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, that as this continual disruption and change carries on, how are GRC professionals, and particularly risk managers in my audience, but how are they going to maintain effectiveness? What are the things that you see coming at them at 100 miles an hour in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first thing that comes to mind is regulatory pressure.
Yep.
There's so much pressure for all this stuff right now, and it's good stuff, but unfortunately, if you have extraordinary pressure, then people feel the need to rush through it and to get it done and check the box. And yes, that's never the intent of risk management. You miss the whole boat if you approach it from that perspective.
Yes.
And so, and unfortunately, regulators, and again, you know, no disrespect to any regulators that might be listening, but you know, they're trying to move through their checklists, and they're trying to make things make sure things are done, and auditors, of course, you know, same thing. And so there is all this regulatory pressure, and you have to meet the pressure.
Yes.
And there's the dynamic, right? You have to meet the pressure, but if you're really true to your profession, you don't want that pressure to turn it into a checkoff exercise. I know I dealt with that. I dealt with that a lot. Like, okay, this is the immediate need where they're all up in my business and we have to deal with this right now. But boy, I tell you, this is not the right way to do it. This is not a long-term sustaining model of how to approach this.
Yes.
And so it was always that kind of dynamic, and you know, the regulatory pressure is not going to go away, right? It's if anything, it's just going to increase and increase and increase.
Yeah.
And so, and in addition to that, and I think probably tied to that is the risk management space is still up and growing. I know the GRC space is, by all means, and so it's changing.
Yes.
It's changing. You have all these different frameworks and all these different models, and then if somebody comes out with something new, and then you have auditors that may or may not even be aligned to that stuff, or regulators that may or may not be aligned to that stuff. So it's always changing, which puts a burden on the risk person, right? Because that means you have to be on top of your game. And that means you're probably doing that on nights and weekends. Like, that's not part of your job per se, is to stay on top of this stuff.
Yes.
You know, it's similar in the tech space, right? You can get obsoleted in the tech space now in a matter of a year or two.
Yes.
And you're whatever you were the big honcho on before, nobody even uses it anymore.
Yes.
And so it's very similar in this space. If you don't spend your nights and weekends and your personal effort to keep up to date and what is the newest best practice and the newest framework and what got thrown out the door because it doesn't work anymore and the new thing, then you're going to be behind the game probably pretty quickly and probably pretty easily.
Yes.
But your job probably doesn't pay you to sit around and spend half your day reading.
That's
reality, right?
That's right. Yep.
So I would say that's a challenge. And then so that's going to yield some that are better than others. So you're going to have some risk people that are really good, and then you're going to have others that maybe didn't quite stay up on par to that, which is then going to start to bake that disparity into the profession.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I guess the last thing is just kind of what we talked about is, you know, you've just got this culture, at least in America, and I would think it's consistent. It's, you know, there's never enough resources to get it done. There's never enough time.
Yes.
And you just, I go back to my project management days. You got time, you got resources, you got quality.
Yep.
That's all you got.
Yes.
So you pick one to take, which one's going to take the hit. Okay. Well, time is fixed. Resources is fixed. So you do the math. What's the third one?
Yes.
That would be quality. Yes. So unfortunately, then you end up with that model, which is why, you know, I really enjoy working with folks to help give them a different perspective to to try to not make all of this risk stuff on top of everything else, because it's really not.
Yes.
So I think those, and then you mentioned the tech, and that's actually an element that's actually very interesting, because I remember, and I will not say the tool name, but I remember using a GRC tool that was up and coming itself, you know, very predominant in the space, but it would change all the time, or, you know, you would go by 6 months and then the new deployment would be radically different than the one 6 months ago. So we're trying to build processes and practices around a tool, and then the tool keeps changing because the space keeps changing.
Yes.
And that makes it very challenging. So I like that you brought that up. That's very good. We actually did have that, that pressure and that challenge.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's, there's one constant, and that's change. And in software and tool world, it seems to be even more pronounced.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The similarities between America and Australia, and I'm sure other other countries is the same. The pressure on resourcing, time, cost, all of those sort of things, I think, is a constant that we all have to deal with. And
mm-hmm.
I think the work that you do with people in being able to cut through is just as important. To be able to go and have those conversations to say, hey, you know, if we're going to be effective in this space, I need more resources. So,
yeah.
You know, you not only need to hear my voice as a risk professional, you need to hear my voice as a cost center manager saying, give me this investment and I will give you this return.
That's sort of good things.
So, yeah. Okay, well, listen, that's fantastic. Sherry, anything else we haven't covered you wanted to cover off? Any particular messages for the risk community that you may want to convey?
Yes, that's great. I would tell them not to quit. I would tell them what they do is very, very hard. It requires a lot of moving parts, a lot of pieces, a lot of people, a lot of different dynamics, but don't quit, because the value that you have to offer the organizations is tremendous, and you know that. So don't let yourself be discouraged and stopped from what you know that you can do. Instead, find new tools, explore new ways to get things done, but don't let it defeat you. Don't let it defeat you to the point where you just quit altogether, which unfortunately does happen, or don't let it defeat you to the point where you just take a very lackadaisical check off mentality toward it and just keep showing up for the paycheck. You deserve more than that. Your companies deserve more than that. And what you have to offer is, especially in this risk management space, is so huge. I know for like the U.S. Department of Defense, I mean, risk management is huge to them. Why? Because that's how you save people's lives. That's how you keep things running smoothly. So what you guys have to offer is tremendous. So don't let it get you down, and don't quit just because the message is hard. There are ways to keep pressing forward.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's a fantastic message, Sherry. Listen, fantastic, great conversation. Really, I'm motivated and pumped out of my skin to get out there and make a difference as well.
All right.
So it's been fantastic for me as well. I might just mention again your website, Sherry, which is makeimpactatwork.com. So don't forget, listeners, to log on to there, where you can see that free copy of the 3 secrets that make people listen at work when you have the answer. So great to log on to that. Don't forget Cherie's LinkedIn profile, linkedin.com/in/Sherry Hotman. And listen, Sherry, thank you very much for your time. It's been a fantastic discussion. Really appreciate your time today, but also really appreciate the work that you're doing, because I think everything we can do to help risk professionals be more effective in their job means risk is adopted more readily, organizations are more successful. It's a great thing for all of us. It's a win all around. So really appreciate what you're doing for the profession. So thank you for your time. No problems at all. And thanks, listeners, for tuning in again for this latest episode of the Mastering Risk Management podcast. My name's Anthony Wilson. You can contact me on 0404-829-040 or via my email address, anthonyw@proximityriskassurance.com.au. Thanks for listening again today.